Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that very much. Jim, are we able to do that? Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and make an MP and then go transfer the MP to a regular. So we're not even able to take one lesson and put on an MP. Yeah, but there's no way of just starting it at some point. All right. Yeah, we just have to let it. It's music and announcements and all that play it out. Okay. All right. Okay. Tuesday night. Want to be opening the text to Revelation 3. Thought about the judgment seat in Revelation. Okay, let's talk about prayer. We got lots of things. Dan and Pat came in Sunday late afternoon and brought Cameron back from doing a sort of a camp to think how they would be doing mission fields, living out in the wild and all that. And I tell you, I'm just so proud of Cameron. They had their regular church service in Dan's church, and so they had prayer time. And he said, lo and behold, Cameron just stood up and started praying. And just stood up and laid it out there. And just Cameron said he's a leader. And he's short, but he's a leader. And he, of course, he has younger brothers and younger brothers. And every now and then he'll forget that these other kids are not his brother. And he'll say, no, don't do that. Don't you be doing that. And he just really proud. They came by the house, and Lori and Chris came over to pick them up, and I said, well, on the serious side of life, I said, did you get any new phone numbers? He just looked at me and said, I already had all them. I already had all their numbers. I mean, just, I already had all those numbers.
Hang out John Henson, you too long.
So that was really good. Let's see. Dan and Pat are in Johannesburg tonight, and tomorrow we'll go to Zambia, Livingston, Zambia. He'll speak at Livingston, go to the Victoria Fall Lakes, but he'll speak in Livingston. And had a good talk about Stuart, Julie. They were charismatic Church of Christ, something like that. And she was the one that went to some kind of a evangelical meeting and accepted Christ as Savior, born first hearing. She just right there and believed in Christ. Didn't say a word to Stuart. And a couple of weeks he said, you sure have been different. What's going on? And she said, well, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, you done what? And I said, well, you need to go to this church. So he went, he accepted Christ. They went out and immediately led about 10 people that they knew to the Lord, and started the whole momentum. And she just does so many things. She's got various women's organizations going, women taking food and things to women, and does things in the choir at the church. And we were just talking, how is she going to be doing without Stuart? So she might just slow down a little bit while she mourns, and then she'd be right back at it, I guess. And they have a nice little home. Dan and I stayed in their home, and right outside the door, you don't cook in these houses, and you have another little hut where the fire is, and the ladies kind of bend down, go in there, and the whole rooms were hot. They're all cooking in there. And then over back around on the side is a little concrete thing where you pour water over. It's not a shower, but it's where they take a shower. And then back over there is just another frame building with just a hole in the ground, and that's the toiletry area. And but she started the graining. She was responsible for getting a grain machine for graining the wheat, and that they all come, they still come to use it, and they'll grain their wheat and take it back to their own little homes and things. And talking about burying, and of course they don't do any cremation, so they'll just probably be buried out in the field there near the house. And they'll mourn a little bit, and then they'll sing and celebrate. They'll do that. They did that yesterday, as a matter of fact. And Dan was saying one time he was there, and all night he heard something at a distance, beating a drum. And Stuart, he said something to Stuart. Oh, Stuart smiled and said, "Yeah, that's a heathen village, and they do that all night to keep the evil spirits away from the dead body until they get it buried." So they keep the evil spirits by making those noises and all. That's why they keep me away. And so we need to be in prayer for Julie, her ministry, her soul, her life. Got some older children that'll probably help a little bit. Need to be in prayer for Dan and Pat as they kind of see what's going to happen. It was questionable even before Stuart went home with the Lord as to what was going to happen. Nobody's picked up the ball there, and Stuart's gotten involved in a lot of government work and things, but as far as these pastors are concerned, that Dan is going to ordain and give them their certificate, and he showed me that my name's on there as one of the professor advisors, and they're giving a certificate. That kind of thing's very big, very important over there. And but as far as any follow-up and continuing, not really sure what's gonna happen there. We talked about he and I and Pat going to Ghana in February and Liberia, which is where the Blood Diamonds was filmed. There's a group there that wants to get an institute there in both Ghana and in Liberia, so that'll be to see how all of that works out. He's got a lot of traveling to do, Dan and Pat do this week and next week. We'll be back till next Saturday. So let's be in prayer for Dan and Pat and Julie and these pastors. Just everybody that's concerned, and it's a very tough deal. Let's see. Now here, need to be in prayer for Tish. She's down all day today, and not feeling well at all. So we need to be in prayer for her. Need to be in prayer for Don Becker as he continues to recover from his surgery Friday. Things are going okay. He's not running any track meets, but he's doing a little better, and so we need to be in prayer for Don Becker as he recovers and heals. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker as she heals and gets a little better. Need to be in prayer for George and Cindy Edwards, Vic Edwards and his wife in Wichita Falls, Texas, and so we need to be in prayer there. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
The guy Jared works with, Lyle.
Lyle's, yeah, yeah.
And I did find out that he's not a believer, and he's just really having a difficult time. So.
Okay. I met Lyles years ago. He's been there a long time, hasn't he? Okay, I thought I had. I thought, huh?
He has been working with me for a long time.
For a long time, yeah. We need to be in prayer for Lyles in regard to the gospel. It's the truth, people. And it's the only bad work of truth we have in this country left. And a lot of people are denying the truth. And so we need to be in prayer for Lyle and the gospel and whatever he's going through, that God will use it to bring him to the gospel. And okay. Now, on the lighter side, this is how I lose friends, but it's Judith's birthday. So, you're a good-looking grandma.
Thank you.
Nobody accuse you of being a grandma. All right. And happy birthday. And but I'm nice enough, I didn't tell him any details. I just said it's your birthday. So,
29.
Yeah. Jim Passmore is the only one that I tell tale on. I'll lay it all out there, how old he is, when it is. Of course, I'm Jim's elder, so I have to be careful with him. But, Jim just got back from visiting his daughter and family, and so we're glad to have you back safely. And good report, that's good. Nathan's home for a while, so you can enjoy that company. When is his next assignment? December the 3rd. Boy, they sure give him a lot of time off, man. They never gave me that, but hey, you got time to go home, kiss your mom, and get back and go to Fort Dix and then to Germany. Man alive. That was it. And where does he go on December 3rd?
He'll go to Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Fort Stewart, Georgia for more training?
I guess he'll learn what he has to learn back.
Striker division, okay. My unit, okay.
Well, he's recruiting while he's home, isn't he? Yeah. So he's working.
Well, tell him to leave Steve alone. Steve's too old.
Let me know of anybody.
Jeremy wanted to get away from his mother-in-law.
Oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh.
Okay. Wes, it's been a while since I've had. How's your mom doing? We hadn't prayed for your mom in a while. How's she doing?
I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
Well, then I guess she's still roaming the country then. She's a traveler.
Yeah.
Definitely be in prayer. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Any other information? Yes.
Herman, I found out from my old church lady that had open heart surgery, really the kind of the same that you had, except that she had a stroke during the surgery. Oh. So they put her in an induced coma. So just praying for her that if she does come out, that she'll...
How old a lady is she?
60-ish.
Okay.
Younger than you.
Oh, she's a young whippersnapper. She's a young gal, all right. Oh, my goodness. She's a high school graduate. Okay, that's good. All right, we'll be in prayer then.
Her name is Betty. Betty Odds.
I still laugh. My doctor, my surgery, had my heart in his hand. I said, boy, there's so many people that would have loved to have had that in their hand and stomped that sucker for it. Okay, let's go to the throne of grace together in prayer and enjoy our freedom we have in Christ and opportunity to come and study the certain event of the judgment seat of Christ that we'll all be there. I'm really torn on Sunday morning because the Roman passage, it really reads like works. Look at Romans 2. Let me show you the dilemma. My dilemma. This is... I just think you ought to appreciate my torture. Do you... Romans 2:3. Do you suppose, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same thing yourselves, you will escape the judgment of God? Okay, there's judgment of God. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness, or do you have contempt for his kindness, forbearance, patience, not knowing the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath. Okay, you're storing up wrath for yourself. The day of wrath. So we've got the judgment of God, day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, doesn't that sound like works? What are you going to do with that? Verse 7? Ah! But to those who by perseverance in doing good seek glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. Doesn't that sound like works for eternal life? But you just got to deal with the text. It sounds like it's saying. Well, but if I just go by this passage, I would have to say work. Verse 8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, do not obey the truth, but obey the unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. And I've been in fervent prayer that what I want to do, I want every one of you, I want a seventh grader to be able to read those verses and explain them easily. People, it is amazing to me, and I've got some pretty good scholars that I do open up their text, their books. And I mean, the ones who understand truth, they will say the right thing, like verse 6, or in there, according to every man, according to his deeds, those of perseverance, they'll say the right thing. But they don't do it by the text. They just say it. And okay, I've said it, you're supposed to believe me. I can't do that. I'm just not called to do that. And some of them, I mean, I got one who just went on and on and on and on for about 3 hours, and by the time he got through, what in the world did you say? What in the world did you say? And then he went on. Never answered the problem. And I've made it my prayer that just to be able to go through this, where every one of you could just sit down with somebody and walk them through that passage. And that's been my prayer. That it can be that clear and that simple, because it is confusing. It really reads like it's works. So that's I've been on a lot of hours last couple of weeks just dealing with that. Okay, Revelation chapter 3. Now let's begin with the word of prayer. And purpose of the prayer is just to shift our gears and trust the Spirit to open our eyes to the things He'd have us to see. Let's pray. This is your message to us. It contains the message of man. It contains the message of angels, Satan. It contains your message. We describe it as your word. And we're most grateful for this truth. But as we have seen, it can be seen in so many different ways. There are those who want to see works, it's there. Those who want to see grace, accessed by faith only, that's there also. Father, we don't have a denominational platform that we've got to support. We just pray your Spirit will take us into the text and open it up for us. Illuminate the truth. We don't want to twist it, manipulate it to fit some denominational creed. We come here and open up the Word to study, to let your Spirit open our eyes to things that you would have us to see and know. And right now, Father, we're at the judgment seat of Christ, an assured event that will occur, and maybe not that far off from now. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we've come to a wonderful reward at the judgment seat of Christ, the honor of the morning star. And we closed up last week with 9 points in dealing with the order of the morning star. So I'm not going to go over all of them, and but we've moved to that point, and we looked at Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 8 in closing. But now let's take a look at Revelation chapter 3, documentation that you will wear this clothing. What we're dealing with is the clothing that accompanies the order of the morning star. You have to have a wardrobe, and it's patterned after that of Jesus Christ at the Transfiguration. We have a resurrected body, and we don't know much about the resurrected body, except that it doesn't need to breathe to sustain. It doesn't need to eat to sustain, but can eat and drink. It can move through material and on planet Earth, as we understand physics. It can do that. It can travel horizontally, vertically, and instantaneous, like old Star Wars, kind of beam, boom, and you're there. And it's just a remarkable body that we're going to have. And apparently, it's going to be, everyone will have a body at the age of Jesus Christ, probably around 33. I used to know some gals that when they learned that, when they turned 33, they wanted to be at their most beautiful that they could be, so that would be their body for eternity. And I said, don't worry about it. And but we will have a countenance that is recognizable as us. So we know we'll recognize each other in that body. But the transparency, the illumination and all of that, we're just kind of uncertain. But there seems to be a wardrobe for those who will rule with Christ in the order of the morning star. So let's take a look at Revelation 3. And we've already done this years ago, not years, but months ago. Oh, years. All right. Years ago. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. All right. I don't need to get married. I can get that harassment here at church. Okay. So let's take a look at Revelation 3. It's a section of the fifth local assembly, the church of Sardis, and the local church that died. Verse 1, and the angel of the church of Sardis write, who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars, says this, I know your deeds. There's that deeds again. Boy, they're all through here. That you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Okay, Sardis. Sardis was about 50 miles east of Smyrna, and I know you remember right where Smyrna was. I don't know why I even said that, but it's about 50 miles east of Smyrna. It's a good town, Sardis. This is where money was first invented. Was in Sardis by King Croesus in circa 550 B.C. So it's a commerce area. I know your deeds. Again, Jesus Christ knows every local church throughout church age. This is an assessment not of individuals, as is Romans 2. This is of an entire local assembly. Will he do this? I don't know. Does he do it through history of the church age? I suspect that's more it, but I don't know. I don't know if at the judgment seat of Christ there'll be this thing. I think it's an evaluation during time, though. I know your deeds. So he knows every church and knows whether they're in the spirit or not. A little ironic humor used here by our Lord in evaluating this assembly of believers, not individuals, but believers, assembly of individual believers, how they function or do not function together. You have a name. Now that generally means that you are alive, that you exist. But you don't usually give a name to something that doesn't exist. So this means that they're alive, they exist. But he says, but really, you're dead. You have a name, but you're dead. Having a name means they have a reputation, but they're dead. This refers to temporal death, not physical death, not eternal death, but temporal death. That is, no bona fide production in the power of the Holy Spirit by this local assembly. You're useless. They're busy, doing a lot of busy things, but no production to the glory of Jesus Christ. So there's no glorification of Christ. Now, verses 2 and 3 is an exhortation from our Lord to the church of Sardis and to all churches who find themselves in this situation. Two commands. Wake up, become alert. Let's take a look. Wake up and become alert. Wake up. Strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So, wake up. It means become alert. Look what you're doing. And strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. All right, apparently there are a few believers in this assembly who truly live the Spirit-filled life and who function in a manner glorifying to God. Let's examine very quickly the exhortation. Wake up. Come alive. Wake up to those things as to who and what you are. I think this would be a good, kind of what he's doing here, be a good thing to say to the marriage seminar, or marriages are just being stalemate, becoming complacent, apathetic about it. Wake up. Wake up before you lose this marriage. Pay attention to what you still have. You still have each other. You still have your marriage. Wake up to it before you lose it. That's the kind of thing we have here. So wake up as to who and what you are and strengthen. Now this takes conscientious effort. You got to strengthen your spiritual life. Now, how do they wake up and how do they strengthen? This has a frightening ring to these people. This has a frightening ring. If that's for me, I'll be... I'm teaching. I'm trying. This has a frightening ring to these people. Historically, the city of Sardis was built on Mount Tumulus, T-M-O-L-U-S, and was an impregnable city in history, over 2,000 years. But the city was overtaken twice. And you know why and how that city was overtaken twice? Simple. The people became very complacent. Nobody can come up here and get us. Very complacent about it. Overconfident in their position. And they actually left the walls unguarded. They just became so complacent. They had been there so long, so protected, that they left the walls unguarded. They did not post guards over the walls. They just knew their city could not be overtaken. And the city fell twice. It is their history that Jesus Christ uses to warn them as believers using that. You've got this great city. Wake up. Boy, guard what you've got. Post the sentry. Wake up. Strengthen. Guard what you have. Okay, how? Wake up. Wake up to your need of walking in the Holy Spirit by faith. Strengthen. All right, we strengthen by consistently walking in the Spirit, growing in the knowledge of the text, growing in the knowledge of Bible doctrine, if you please. Guard. Stand firm in the freedom wherewith you have been set free. That's how you guard against going into law. Guard against going into law. Guard against going into sin. Guard against a life of legalism. Continue to walk by faith in the leading of the Holy Spirit into His Word. This is how you do it. Not going to browbeat this thing. I said what I had to say Sunday morning. Sunday morning was not a political speech. It was a spiritual speech. But America's lost its guard. We've not kept guard. We've not guarded the text in our Supreme Court. We've not guarded the text in our education. We've not guarded the Bible in our schools, in our churches. So we've not guarded the Bible in the courts, in the education system. We've not guarded it in the church. We've just allowed it to be laid aside. Did not guard that Declaration of Independence. And so we're paying for it. You can actually lose. As far as earth is concerned, you can lose all that you have in Christ. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But you can lose all the blessings you have in Christ. All the spiritual blessings that come with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can lose them. Inner happiness, inner peace. The joy of being with each other, encouragement of one another. You can lose all the blessings that we have in Christ. You can lose them. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose these things. I know a multitude of believers who love the Bible, value the Bible. But as time goes by, they don't guard it. They become complacent about its study. A little apathy about its study. Got to guard it. Along with Bible, the local church, the opportunity to assemble themselves with others. People, it's just amazing. That article I read to you, these people in China will go to effort twice a week to meet with just 25 other people in these little apartments and things. When you don't have something, you want it. When you got it, don't need to worry about it. Don't need to worry about it. Faith, hope, love. These are things that you have in your spiritual life in Christ that you've got to keep on guard. You can lose them. You stop walking by faith. You lose that hope in Christ and spiritual love. Then you have a multitude of blessings that we have in Christ. Marriage, home, things that are your spiritual gift and all these things. But it's amazing how difficult it is to hold on to what we have in Christ. I think we're seeing today how easy it is to lose things we have in the material world. Well, people, you can lose the spiritual things we have in Christ. So he says, hold fast. Hold fast. And to what you have. This is directed to believers in any assembly. Wake up, strengthen to what you have in Christ. This is true in your marriage, when there's trouble, friendships, family, all these things, people. You got to take a conscious effort in life. And this is the whole ball game of freedom. It's the difference between freedom and socialism. Freedom, you've got to make up your own mind what you're going to do, what you value, what your pursuit, what you're going to seek in life, and it's up to you. And if you want to just waste it away, that's freedom to do it. You got the freedom to waste your life, freedom to pursue these things, and to make sure that they're part of what you got. So we have the command that is repeated over and over in the Bible. Challenge to wake up. See what you have. See what you have in your life. See what you're doing with your life. If you do not wake up, you will lose them. You will lose what you have. And I think this is what's happening overtly in America today. And then spiritually in the churches. Churches are losing what we have in Christ. Strengthen your life. Okay, you cannot lose your salvation. This is secure in Christ by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But you can lose out on rewards. You can lose out on honors in eternity. Take eternity serious, people. We take our life seriously. Better take after death. Better take that serious. Tell the word about what kind of box you're going to be buried in. Might want to think about it. Standing before the judgment seat of Christ. That old box we're going to get buried in, it doesn't mean anything. Or they put your ashes in or whatever, urn, or put it out over the sea or wherever you're going to put it. And but I'm going to give them a little thought. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So you want to take eternity seriously. You have to take it serious enough to believe Jesus Christ is your Savior. Hey, that's why we believed in Christ. I won't go to hell. I know I'm going to be, the death isn't it. I knew that when I was a little guy, 7 years old. This isn't it. So I knew I was going to live after death. And so we accepted Christ as that. Now we want to think about it in our life. Hold on to that. If you find that you're losing it, growing weak and deficient, then wake up. Don't just go through the motion of living. Wake up. So many marriages just go through the motions of living. So many believers go through the motion of living. But people, you're living. We have one life to live. Got to value that life, value what we do with it every day. Enjoy every day. It's passing. I enjoy going to the grocery store. I just have a ball. I got them cracking up, laughing at me. The post office, they make fun of me, but you just got to make out of life what you're going to do with it. And you're only going to be in your 20s. Well, no one's here in their 20s, but maybe on the internet. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, only once. Then it's gone. And then you're gone. So you better value these things and take advantage of them. You're alive, but you're dead, he says. Dead as to the spiritual warfare and eternity. These believers at Sardis are not alert. Alertness occurs by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, growing in the Word, by rapidly adjusting to rapidly changing things in your life, finance, health, circumstances. Boy, the Christian life is a flexible life. It causes you to be flexible. That's the beauty of the Christian life. If your life changes financially, boy, your spiritual life carries you through that and changes all these changes. Okay, things which remain. Things which remain. Verse 2. This may become an appropriate warning for Christians in America. As more and more freedoms we lose and are losing, we must value the ones that we still have, like the right to assemble. Well, I don't know if you heard the news, but in North Carolina, a group in a Bible church, independent church, were meeting, and a bunch of people came in. They knew that they did not support Obama. They came in, disrupted the service, and tried to call some of the members to get into fights with them, and called them all kinds of names, and caused a big scene and all. It's on the internet. And I think we're going to see more and more of this stuff. It just it's going to get really rough. And but right now we still have the freedom to assemble and to open this text and study it however we see fit. And I was talking, to John and stuff about things about the hate law and can't talk about the homosexuality. I can teach the word without that, but it's a shame because my message is the gospel and that type of thing. But it's just a shame in America that we can't study the Bible. We still can, but we may not. To remain local church where the truth is being taught, spiritual gifts, and as long as there's time, hope remains. Local church remains with believers the opportunity and freedom to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 3. Remember, they have enough doctrine to recall. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing to say, remember. Because if I say to remember, that means that you've got it in your soul somewhere. So they have enough doctrine to recall. And as long as you can still recall, you can still recover. As long as you can recall, you can recover. You can still strengthen what you have. Remember, therefore, what you have received. Salvation, Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 3. Who has supplied you with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, local church, spiritual gift, pastor, fruit of the Spirit, so on. All these wonderful things. And heard. Heard. So apparently they had a Bible teacher who taught the truth. This local church had a pastor teacher who taught them the truth. And at one time they were positive to it. And apparently used it in their personal life. Remember when you did that? Remember what you have received in Christ. And what you have heard, the truth. And keep it. Now, keep it is the same principle. Hold fast and stand firm. Keep it is the same principle. As you have received Him, walk. As you've received Him by faith, keep walking by faith. See? That's the keep it here. In just very simple terms, that's what keep it is. As you've received Him by faith, keep doing that. That's what the keep it is. Still difficult to hold fast to what you have in Christ. It's against our flesh nature to hold fast to what we have in Christ. To keep what you have in life. Adam and Eve could not hold on living in perfect environment. Could not hold on. I don't know how long they were in the garden. Some people speculate 40 years with the 40 years of the desert and the 40 years. That I don't know. We're not even given a hint. But they couldn't hold it. Can you imagine perfect environment? You don't have to mow. You don't have to change the hoofs on the horse or the car. You don't have to do this. You just sleep and eat and have love, make love, and perfect environment. They couldn't hold on. They could not hold on to what they had. They had to try something else. Many believers cannot hold on to what they have in Jesus Christ. By the way, the millennium. Jesus Christ is going to set up a perfect dictatorship. He's going to be the judicial, executive, and legislative branch. But it's not going to last. Even with Jesus Christ ruling. Sin natures. Satan will be released from prison. And as we get toward the end of the 1,000 years, they're going to rebel. People, this ideal America's designed to last forever, it's a farce. We've ran our warranty on democracy. And things are going to change. And history's always changing, and because we can't hold on. We can't hold on to what we have, even in Jesus Christ. Many people can't even hold on to material blessings that God gives them. They can't hold on to their husband, their wife, money, friends, local church, these things. And keep it. And repent. Now here's a good place to learn about the word metanoia, change of mind. All this is in the mind. Being temporally dead in thinking. Wake up. This happens in the mind. All of this is in the mind. Strengthen in the mind. Remember. It's a process in the mind. Keep it. Mental. And now repent. Change your mind. Change your mind what you've been doing with all these things you've had in Christ. Change your mind about the way that you've... And it's not that they've necessarily been living in sin. Just change your mind that you've not been holding on to those spiritual things that you've had. The local church, the teaching of the Bible, the living in the Bible, your husband, your wife, your home, spiritual things that we have in Christ. So, repent here is a good place to see the battles in the mind. Now remember, this is addressed to an assembly of believers. It's a joint effort. Joint effort. It's like a prayer meeting with everybody there. It's a joint effort. Repent includes a movement. Repent always summons to faith. But here it means to change your mind about what you've been doing with all these wonderful things you have in Christ. If therefore you will not wake up, uh-oh, now he gives a warning. I will come. I will come. And it doesn't mean coming and sing with you. It's going to come in judgment. I have a little sign somebody gave me in my kitchen in the window. It says, don't make me come down there. So, it's, I will come in judgment. Now he says, like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Now, people, this is an assembly of believers. This isn't the last judgment or anything like that. one word on Christ coming as a thief that's caused some false doctrine. Jesus Christ refers to himself as coming as a thief, takes us into spiritual warfare. Satan rules this world. Satan has snatched us out of God's hand, and then even as believers, out of the spiritual momentum, and he snatched us out of the garden. So Jesus Christ comes into Satan's world like a thief, and he snatches us back. So what Jesus Christ here is saying is that if you're not responding to my challenges and wake up, take warning. I'm going to come. And I'm going to take all those wonderful blessings. This is the thief. I'm going to take them. You don't want them? I'll take them. I'm going to come and take them. And this local church will be no more. You don't want these blessings? Fine, I'll come and take them. I'll come and just, I'll take this one and I'll take this one. I'll take this local church, your pastor. I'll take this and that. Now, he's not going to take your spiritual gift. He's not going to take your indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're talking to an assembly. Say, this isn't individual believers, but the assembly. Just come and take these things. So this is what he does. So if you do not respond to my challenges and wake up, I'll come. I'm going to come. Now, so he says, things which remain, which were about, which are about to die, I have not found your deeds completed inside of my God. Okay. Now, what is what do we have going on with all of this? What I want to do is look at verse 4. Let's get to the clothing. I'm running out of time. I can't believe I'm just jabbering on. Let's get on to the clothing here. Verse 3, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come. Now verse 4. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments. This is a warning for the honor of the morning star. And I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will acknowledge his name before my Father and before angels. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, garment of the morning star, verse 4. But you have a few people, believers in Sardis. Now, not a few people. It really says a few names. I just want to make that point. But you have a few names. Now, why do I point that out? Jesus Christ knows our names personally. He knows every name personally. People, that's just, no, you have a few names. Names of those of each believer in each assembly. I think that would be a good task because I don't even know the names of people in our assembly. So if he does, or not, since he does, he knows. So, but you have a few names. So he knows, Jesus Christ knows your name, and he knows if you hold on. By the way, he also knows those who do not hold on. You have, here's what they have, a few believers holding on. You would be surprised how many local churches run off few believers who love the church, who love the truth. Their churches run off those who love the truth. You have a few names in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. Okay, where does this come from? This is a figure of speech, and it is used to refer to one's life. Garments, used in a great deal in the Word of God, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, refers to one's life. This is what the world sees. Your garment, your outer garment. It's what the world sees. Like Cohen's garments. They have not spoiled their garments, their lives with evil, religion, legalism. Their testimony, their walk, has been in the environment of what? Spiritual love. The Lord used this figure to introduce a reward in heaven. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Okay, first, the future tense. They will walk. This refers to those few believers who he knows by name, who walked in the Spirit-filled life by faith, in opposition to those believers who stopped walking by faith in the Spirit, stopped growing in the Word. And it can refer to each one of us by name, those of you here. We'll walk, future tense. Now, when is this? After the judgment seat of Christ. See that we'll walk? We'll walk with me in white. This is after the judgment seat of Christ. In the millennium, in eternity future. Those who walk with the Lord while on earth will have the honor of walking with the Lord in heaven. Walking with the Lord means to function, rule. Walking has to do with activity. Believers who walk with the Lord on earth will be worthy to walk with the Lord in eternity. You governed your life on earth, you can govern in eternity. Some have a vague idea about what it's going to be like after death, after the resurrection. What heaven's going to be like, what eternity's going to be like. So I hope this study gives you some encouragement that all those little details we don't need to know. And there's going to be activity in heaven. There's going to be a lot of activity in heaven. We're going to rule and commerce, all this type of thing. People all get excited. There are going to be dogs and cats and horses and all this stuff in heaven. And is there going to be sex in heaven and all that? See, I just want to know, is there going to be some really good wine in heaven and, you know, really good stuff like that? But I was talking to Dan. I thought this was cute. When John Hintz's dog Fidelis died. So Dan and I were talking about it, and he said, "Yeah," he said, "Fidelis." So it just off the cuff said Fidelis would be in heaven. I went, "Now how do you know that?" He said, "He's a good dog." And I said, "Wait a minute." He said, "No, Herman, you wait." He said, "Dogs don't have souls like we do. We can get to heaven by grace. They've got to earn their way. Bad dogs don't make it. Good dogs make it." So if you had a good dog, I went, "Oh my goodness. I hope you don't teach this from the pulpit." But people, let me just tell you what will be in heaven. There's going to be activity, there's going to be ruling, and you can rule with Christ. This could be a reality. Now, maybe nobody listens to you in time here on earth, but in eternity, they'll listen. Rule with Christ. And this is a female-male thing, too. There's no difference male and female in heaven, so this all can do this. There's going to do what? Do what? There's no male-female thing in heaven. That is a sex thing. Let's don't go into that discussion right now. John, Dan, and I have some nice discussions about all that. I'm not sure if we're too biblically correct. But it's going to be a great deal of function and activity in heaven. Some believers in the church age are going to be highly rewarded by God, by Jesus Christ, and part of this is going to be the art of the morning star. This is why I'm teaching your Spirit-filled life, not a way of life, but a life of personal relationship with God, personal relationship with Christ, and you'll get to rule with Him. We're seeing in John 14 on Wednesday night, Jesus Christ sending us the Spirit of Truth. And one of the primary functions of the Spirit of Truth inside of us is to glorify Jesus Christ. He will glorify me. It's one of His primary functions. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. He will teach of me. So again, it is imperative that every believer know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can learn of Jesus Christ, be taught of Jesus Christ, have fellowship with Jesus Christ in time, and then that will transfer into wonderful opportunity in heaven. The rewards in heaven, crowns, honors, all these wonderful things in heaven. Okay, we'll resume here next Tuesday night. And what did we do? Oh, I did the Romans 2. We talked about Julie and Dill. We didn't get very far. Okay. We got to get past the judgment seat of Christ. Get on to. We want to get to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to get to the menu. And there's a great battle of where is the marriage supper. Some believe it's in heaven, some believe it's on earth. So we'll find out. I don't care where it is, just as long as I get to sit down at the table and get to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So these are things that are, I don't think, are all that far away. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. How exciting it is, Heavenly Father, to study the Word. What fun, what enjoyment, what peace, what anticipation, confidence that this isn't it. Things here on earth are not what it's all about. Just a prelude to eternity. It's going to be very exciting once we die and face to face with the Lord, and then the rapture of the church and judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb, second advent. So many wonderful things, that just exciting things yet to happen in history. Things have to happen here on earth that we have to live through some of it that's not very pleasant. But boy, when we know the game plan, it's okay. It's all okay. Father, I pray you'll take the things that we see here and let them give us a comfort, encouragement, peace, anticipation. Guide us, Father, in making the decisions that we make to hold on to the things we have in Christ. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.